Hey, if you're watching, we're glad you're here. We're going to do something a little different with church media conversation stuff. So this is Coffee with Charlie. I actually have my Strange Brew coffee. Support local.
There it is.
There's your free plug, Strange Brew. We love you. Ready to go. I knew I was going to do that. Got to give Strange Brew the right
Absolutely.
Nods. And two cups means this is going to go fast. Anyway, so I thought we would have a conversation about New Year's resolutions. Sometimes this can be a sermon or could have been a sermon this past Sunday.
Yeah.
But did not work out that way. So I thought we could have a more extended conversation because some people, maybe even in this room, are anti-New Year's resolution. I don't know. But some people are anti-making commitments. I don't want to be committed to that. Or anti-New Year's resolutions, which I told you the other day, by the way, saying you don't make New Year's resolutions is a resolution. So
I didn't believe him. He had to explain it to me. But
even when you make a commitment, you're making a commitment not to make a commitment. That's a commitment. So you can't get away from it. But even if you're not a New Year's resolution person, we're going to talk a little bit about how you make changes, because we all want to change something about ourselves at some point.
Yeah.
Waistline, education, career, yeah, something. So
for sure. And like I said, we're on Facebook Live right now, so if you want to interact with us, hit us up in the comments. I'll relay those to Charlie, and we'll be able to have this two-way interaction going on. So
yes, if I say something or if he says something crazy, it's his fault. But if you want to ask a question, if I say something that sparks a question, which is what I was going to say, if I say something that sparks a question, you can put it in the comments, and we'll try to
get to
those. So this should be fun. Did you make a New Year's resolution, or was I wrong about or was I right about you being one of the people who doesn't make resolutions?
So I did not make a hard and fast resolution. Mine was this general lose weight, just this generic
vague.
One. Yeah, really vague. You know, be healthier. What does that mean? I don't know. But I definitely know after, you know, I got married last year in March, right before the world shut down. And so, like, that was my goal, was in March. Okay, be skinny. Got to look good for the wedding. And then after that, it was like,
there's always that lose 10 pounds for you to fit in your tux for the wedding thing.
Exactly, because, you know, you get fitted like 6 months before, and you're like, okay, this is the size I have to be. I cannot gain weight before then. But after March, you know, we went to shut down, and it's like, I don't see anyone. I just live in pajamas. So, you know what? Now I got to lose a couple pounds. So
you're not just carrying holiday weight.
I'm carrying pandemic lockdown, like.
Lockdown weight. Everybody's carrying a little lockdown weight. Sit, you know, 2 weeks to flatten the curve, raised our curves, you know, the curve is flat. We're not, you know, that kind of thing. But New Year's Eve is like New Year's Day. New Year's Eve is one of my favorite holidays.
Yeah.
Because I love the whole like clean slate thing. Mm-hmm. Like I like the, okay, that's gone. And everybody's been saying 2020 can't go bye-bye fast enough. So even this year, it's been even more heightened, like, 21 is going to be better. And then like midnight came and it's like,
I feel the same.
Nothing's changed. But I love New Year's because one, it is kind of that moment where almost everybody makes some type of commitment to be a different person. Gymnasiums, that's like Black Friday for them. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, okay, everybody's had the holiday turkey. Now they're like, I got to lose weight after the holidays. And so they always make these New Year's commitments and so all the ads will be, join our gym for $20, you know, or whatever.
Yep.
But I love that you get to reflect at New Year's.
Yeah.
I like watching all the what happened in 2020 videos, shows that come across.
This year, there were so many things that we just forgot. I mean, like,
if you even think about your resolutions in 2020 to start this past year, like, what's the running joke on Facebook? The worst thing to have bought last year was a 2020 calendar to plan your year. Mm-hmm. And so you may even be hesitant to make a plan or a commitment this year because
I totally thought about that when I was, I always get a new calendar for my office and I was like, I'm going to write this in pencil. I'm not going to use pen this year. Pencil.
Yes. You can't put anything on the calendar in pen because you're going to be scratching it out.
Yeah.
Your calendar will be a mess because every week some restriction will change or something will happen or you can do something or you can't do something. Especially if you're in ministry, it's like, are we having church this weekend? I don't know. You know, so we're going to plan to.
Yep.
Anyway.
And it may change.
And it could change. Hopefully it's going to start changing for the better as the vaccine rolls out. We're not making light of the pandemic by any stretch.
Yeah.
But we've kind of all been in the same boat. Like, I'm planning on doing this, but who knows?
Yeah, and you talk about in Common Table, man, you moved here in Starkville, you're ready to go to football games, you're ready to start doing stuff on campus.
Yes.
Can't do it.
College ministry, go to state games, be 10 minutes away. What state games? You know, like, I didn't know what was going
to
happen.
Graduate, become an alumni, actually get to go to the games and not have to work them.
That's right. Nope. Who knows? So, but anyway, I love that you get to reflect, too, not just looking forward, but actually looking back. So for me, it's kind of that cool thing. And it's always like midnight, and oh, it's a new year, and then everybody goes to sleep. You know, like, okay, it's midnight, now I can go to bed. A totally different experience. But you can also make, but the clean slate thing, that's arbitrary. December 31st at 11:59:59, mm-hmm. you could do that January 8th at 7 a.m., and it'd be it would have the same effect. You're still the same person 10 seconds ago that you were. So you could make a commitment anytime you want to.
Absolutely, and I think that's really important. We joke about me being anti-commitment, but it is that sentiment of, well, what's special about January 1st? What's wrong with February 1st?
Right, exactly. And that, what I mean by that is, if you've already failed in your New Year's resolutions at noon on January 6th, you can start. Tomorrow can be New Year's Eve. It doesn't. Yeah. It doesn't matter. You can start over. I always make New Year's resolutions. I tried to go back and find my 2020s. Apparently, I didn't, or I didn't save them. you know, if you're, it's really funny because you're the anti-resolution guy, but you're the planner.
Oh, I'm and totally I'm the planner.
I'm the non-planner who makes commitments and then doesn't follow through on them.
I'm totally the planner out of the two of us.
That's right. So he has no commitment but a plan. I have no plan but a commitment. You know, however that works. But I love to be able to look back. The slate is arbitrary. I'll give you an example of arbitrary commitments.
Okay.
It wasn't even a New Year's resolution because I started it in November, but my commitment is to read 12 books in 12 months.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, but I started it in November, so I'm halfway through book 3. I'm on pace, but I didn't start it January 1. That'd be a lot of books in 6 days.
That would be a lot.
But I just decided in November I want to read 12 books in the next 12 months. So yeah. It wasn't a New Year's resolution, but it was a commitment that I made to do that.
Yeah,
and so
over 12 months.
And so far, I'm on it. But that's why I've not taken on like a 500-page book, because then I'll get like 5 books in a year, because I'm not reading that fast. Yes. I'm trying to actually, you know.
Yeah, read for comprehension, understanding, and not just to say you read
application.
It for completion. Yeah.
Application. One of the books I read was 12-Week Year,
okay,
which is all about commitments and resolutions and how do you accomplish goals. So, hello, here's why we're here. And I read it in like 3 or 4 days, because it was really good.
Okay.
Changed my mind on some things.
Yeah.
Reinforced some ideas that I have about resolutions. But here we are. So I like making them. I don't always keep them. It's always fun to write them down if you're going to make them, because then you'll know if you kept them or not. Even if it's the general, I'm going to lose weight and be healthy, which we'll talk about in a minute, will never work, by the way.
Thanks.
I mean, if that's as far as it goes, there's tip one. If your resolution is, I'm going to lose weight this year, good luck with that. But if you have a plan, see this would be in your wheelhouse to make resolutions, because you plan it out. Mm-hmm. You're golden. But why? So that's where we are. So we can talk about this. Why do you think it's so hard? I'm asking you the questions now, because you're not asking me the questions. Why do you think it's so hard to keep resolutions? But do we have any questions so far from our little chat?
No, none yet.
Nobody's watching. It doesn't matter. We can talk about what we want.
So, why is this? I think it's so hard because it's this daily thing, right? Like, my thing is to be healthy. And part of that probably starts with eating better.
Yeah.
But it's just so easy to go to Sonic. Yes. It's on my drive. It's on the right-hand side of the road.
Yes. And the line's not down Highway 12.
No, it's not. You just pull in. You get it back. But it's this daily commitment to, no, I want to be healthier. I need to get out of bed and go run. I need to do something. Mm-hmm. And there are days where it's cold outside.
Yep.
I don't want to go run. Or it's, actually, I actually do like to run in the cold. I would rather run in the cold than in the hot. So, like, come summer, like, you walk outside and you're just sweating.
Yeah.
That's gross.
The only thing I don't like running in cold is catching your breath is very difficult when it's cold. I'm with you on the not sweating thing, but like after a little while, you're like, I can't breathe because it's too cold.
Yeah. I found that actually the mask helps. Actually make it easier. Of all things, A, because my face is then warmer, but it, to me, it's easier. So thank you, masks, for that.
I do want to talk about keeping commitments, because that,
yeah,
a lot of the people who are anti-resolution, it's because they've never been able to keep them anyway, so what's the point?
Yeah.
I mean, because I'm going to make a New Year's resolution, and literally January 6th, you're like,
I'm going to go to the gym come February. I'm just paying for some reason.
Yes, that's the beauty of those locked-in prepaid contracts. It's like, they're getting your money in March when you're sitting on the couch. You know what I mean? It's not a bad business plan, but it's not a good health plan, though, because you actually have to go to, there's a whole Friends episode about go to the gym and they can't drop their membership. It's pretty funny, actually. And Chandler goes with him and ends up signing up with him or something. It's pretty, instead of dropping, they actually add it.
Yeah.
Somebody. Yes. So I love talking about this stuff because I do like making resolutions, and I do end up keeping some of mine.
Yeah.
And I think one of the reasons I fail on some of them is because I make too many.
Okay.
So literally part of the problem is, you know, 10 resolutions. Mm-hmm. And then like I keep 30%. At least I kept those 30%, but there was way too many changes at one time.
Yeah.
So that's a thing that I didn't even write in my notes. But if you're trying to like change every aspect of your life by the end of January, that's probably fail mode. You know? You're just not.
There's a lot going on there.
I mean,
take
you
step back one thing at a time.
If you could just change everything overnight, you would.
Yeah.
So that does right away, too many commitments at once is not going to work for you.
Yeah.
But the one, I mean, I mentioned this book. One of the things that was one of the, I was like, big aha moments reading this book was don't make a 12-month or even let alone a 5-year. Anybody got their 5-year plan? You know what I mean? Okay. Mr. Planner is over here. Like,
I started one of those in college, and let me just tell you, it's not on track.
Yeah. You take over a new job and you have to write your 5-year goals or something.
Yep.
Those are good things, and plans like that are good. Mm-hmm. The problem is they're so far off that you don't do anything about them.
Yep.
Like even a New Year's resolution, you've got till December 31st to lose weight.
Yep.
So like, and this is actually a good thing on one hand because you don't have to stress yourself out. You know, I can't eat but 500 calories a day. I got to meet my. No, you've got all year.
Yeah.
The problem is, from a behavior standpoint, you've got all year. And so you're like March going, yeah, I still got 9 months.
It'll be okay.
And in October, you're like, I've gained 5 pounds and I've got 1 month left to lose the weight. I mean, it's
just 5 pounds, man. That would be great.
It's so far out, though, that you don't do anything about it. Yeah. It's not pressing enough.
Right.
And as the title of the book talks about, 12-week year, it's kind of a weird phrase. But one of the best ways to keep a commitment is to actually lower the trajectory of how long you're going to try to keep the commitment.
Yeah.
So if you've got a goal for 21, what can you do by March? Puts a little more urgency in the effort. Even if that's too far out, because, you know, if you're like me that doesn't have a plan, whatever is due March 30th, if you're like me, you're working on it on March 29th like crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's almost Easter.
Yeah.
So, like, you're planning out, you're like, what do I want to accomplish by Easter?
Yeah.
Easter seems so far away, but it's just 12 weeks.
Right. So, what it does is it brings it more immediate.
Yeah.
And so you start acting on it. Because everybody's most productive day is the day before you go on vacation.
Yep.
Think about all you accomplish in the 8-hour workday or even the 24 hours counting home life before you're going out of town for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. That is like the most productive day of anybody's year. At work, you crush all of your deadlines. At home, the house is spotless, the stuff is packed and organized. Yeah. If you have a kid like I do, the car is stacked to here just because of him. But like, you get all this stuff done in 8 hours.
And what is it about?
But you don't operate like that every day.
No. But what is it about those 8 hours that make us so efficient?
You really want to go on vacation. I mean, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, it intensifies the urgency of wanting to accomplish whatever it is you want to accomplish. So if your goal is 12 months out, you're like, yeah, I can get around to it. If it's Friday, you've got to be very intentional about hitting it by Friday. You got to have a plan. You know, a lot of times when we interact, you're like, okay, I need this by this date. Now I got to prepare, you know, that otherwise I'll never get around to preparing.
Yep.
And so moving that trajectory down, even if 12 weeks is too far out, which for some of us who are not planners, it can be.
Yeah.
This week. Mm-hmm. Okay. In the next 7 days, Mr. I'm going to lose weight and eat healthy this year. Plan 7 days of meals out. I mean, it's bite-sized and it's doable and it's more urgent.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so that's the first thing, is like, you've got to bring the trajectory in. And even if you have like a 12-month goal, how much of it needs to be done in 3 months? Mm-hmm. Or 2 weeks, or whatever whatever bite size you can handle, you know? Because then, like, when you feel like you've done some of this, the motivation spin will change. You know, if you're sitting there in March and you haven't lost any weight, in fact, you've gained weight, you kind of go, I'm done, can't do it. Mm. But if in 4 weeks you lose a couple of pounds, your motivation to stay on it will grow. Yeah. And it's more immediate reward. We like our instant reward, you know what I mean?
Yes.
We like our immediate feedback. I like to write, but I have to write and then I can't write for a contract 2 years from now or something. I have to write and then go, what do you think? Or I don't keep writing.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I like writing sermons, like every Sunday. I get feedback and I'm done with that one. I don't have to keep pushing it out there.
Yep.
So you got to bring that down. The other thing, this is huge. You have to actually align your actions with your outcome that you want. And you referenced Sonic, right?
Yeah.
If your goal is to lose weight, Sonic on the way home does not line up with your goal.
No.
I mean, it just doesn't. I mean, so we go, I want this, but then nothing we do moves us in that direction. Right. You know, it's like I work with college students and they're like, I want straight A's this semester, but then they don't study.
Yeah.
And you go, you don't really want straight A's, or you'd study.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't really want to lose weight, or you eat different. In other words, what you really want.
Yeah. Yeah. And we've talked about that before in Common Table we all know how to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
We all know how to be a better Christian. We know these things, but we don't do them sometimes.
Yeah. In fact, what we're talking about right now is not rocket science. Most of you are going, yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. I need a clear plan. Yeah, I know. I need goals. But have you set any? You know, like, if you don't, and I can say this all day, but if you don't actually go try this, you know, okay, then there's your problem. And see, that's one of the things too, when you're trying to make any kind of change, not just a New Year's resolution, as soon as you dig into trying, you're going to discover your biggest obstacle is you.
Oh, all the time.
Like, we all like to think, oh, it's out there, or oh, Sonic is just too convenient, but what happens is you'll say, you keep using the weight loss one, I want to lose weight. Mm-hmm. You might want to frame that with, I'm interested in losing weight.
Yeah.
Because you don't really want to. If you really want to, you'll eat different.
If what I want is the milkshake.
Right. And that's what I mean when I say run into yourself. Because here's what happens. A lot of these goals will be a desire you really do have. Mm-hmm. I really do, you know, want this. I really do want, like, for one of mine was to write a devotional book, right? Mm-hmm. I really want that. It's the one so far in my first 12 weeks of the year that I've just not gotten around to.
Yeah.
Which tells me one of two things. I don't want to bad enough, or I've taken on too many changes in 12. I've gone against my own advice. So, like, it may be that gets focused later, you know, because I'm just not going to be able to fit it into all the changes I'm making right now. But if you really want to, you've got to do the things that move you that way. I want to be debt-free. Don't borrow more money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we all would say, I'd like to get rid of this debt. And then you get rid of that debt, but you go shopping again. The actions aren't aligned. And then but here's what's going on there. And this is where it gets kind of deep, is you have some maybe even subconscious desires that are stronger than this stated desire of getting to a goal. I keep using the Sonic example, but like, we live in Starkville, where there's some amazing restaurants that work completely counter to losing weight. The freshman 15 thing is the real thing. You know what I mean? You can't like have a diet of free advertising. You can't have a diet of Little Dewey's or the Grill, or you can go on a diet at the Grill, but you go to the Grill and you want, like, you know, you don't eat, eat on diet. And so, like, you have to go, all right, this is what I really, really want to do. But then part of you really enjoys that food. And so you've got these competing desires at play, and you'll only do the one you really want.
Yeah, one of my hardest ones is I love Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
Like, if we go to a restaurant, I want a Coke. Like, that's just what I want. And that held me back for years.
Oh, yeah.
Because go out of a restaurant, well, I don't want water. I want the Coca-Cola.
Yes.
And so, like, working out in high school playing baseball, I always had the dad bod because I didn't know how to eat. And I would drink Coke
dad
and go to
Waffle
House.
Dad bod in high school. Okay.
Anyway, comparatively, okay. But in college, I stopped drinking Coke my freshman, sophomore year and instantly lost, like, 15 pounds. Just little change. But at some point, I started drinking Coke again and gained it back. Mm-hmm. And so it is that desire of, I want Coca-Cola.
I love Coke. It's like my favorite thing on the planet. In fact, in some cases, it's part of like the culinary experience. Like it goes with Chick-fil-A waffle fries.
Yes.
You know, like
it just, it is.
Everything else, it's a combination. And so it's like hard to go. I mean, we all do this. You go through the McDonald's drive-thru, maybe, and you go, I know I should order this chicken wrap, but no, I want the quarter pounder. You know, the option in line with my goal is laying right there, even at McDonald's.
Yep.
But I don't choose it because I want that experience more than I want whatever the goal is.
Yeah.
And so part of the problem, part of the reasons we don't meet these commitments is we really don't have a big enough why. Mm-hmm. We don't have a deep enough emotional connection with what we really want to accomplish. Or we don't even have, and the why has to carry you through that decision moment.
Yeah.
You have to want this really not for yourself. I mean, you can be Christian about this. I mean, to be pastoral about this, the bigger whys really are not self-centered. They're other-centered. Mm-hmm. I mean, eating healthy to be with your spouse and with your kids is for others, not because you want to look good in a bathing suit. Mm-hmm. Is a much bigger why, and for some people, a much better motivation to be around with your six-year-old, you know, because you took care of yourself is a much bigger why than I just want to look good. Because if it's just I want to look good, you might just like, Big Mac and fries, sit on the couch.
Yep.
Or it's cold outside, I'm not going to go running. Mm-hmm. But if I'm going running for my spouse or for my kids, I might get out of bed. And we're using weight loss as kind of a recurring thing, but it can be true for anything.
Yeah.
Like in ministry, I mean, I said one of the things I want to do is write a little devotional book, right? But if I'm writing it so I can say, ooh, look at me, I published a book, that's not a big enough why. But if I'm writing it because I want other people to grow closer to Christ, I'll write. Mm-hmm. Because the emotional connection and the tie to what I want to accomplish is much bigger.
Yeah.
You know? And so you've got more urgent, more pressing goal. And by the way, even saying, okay, in 12 weeks, I'm going to lose 10 pounds. Mm-hmm. That's still an arbitrary deadline.
Yeah.
We need to throw this in here. There's room for grace. You know what I mean? If you're like, and by the way, this is one of the reasons people fail too. I didn't even think about this. Is people will like go on a plan. Okay, I've got my plan. I got my health plan. I'm doing keto or whatever that, you know, whatever the latest diet plan is. Day two, they fail. What do? They jettison the plan.
Yep.
I couldn't stick to the diet, so I'm going to Dewey's and getting the big ribs and fries and Coke. Okay, but start over again the next day.
Yep.
It's arbitrary, just like New Year's Eve was arbitrary. Mm-hmm. You've got an opportunity to go, okay, I had some extra carbs tonight, big deal. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean the plan doesn't work. Mm-hmm. It means I might not get there in 12 weeks, I might get there in 14.
Yeah.
Keep going. Don't beat yourself up. And we're using the eating thing because it's an easy one. Mm-hmm. But if you're setting a work goal and you're like, I want to make this many sales in this amount of time, and you make 95% of those, cool. Mm-hmm. Don't torture yourself because you didn't hit 100%. You hit 95% of where you're going because you were trying to get there and we're incorporating some of this stuff. So we need to say, if you've already failed on January 6th, okay, tomorrow's January 7th of whatever the goal is. And so you just got to keep moving. You know, why you blow a meal, fine. You went 20 calories over if you're counting, so what? Mm-hmm. Exercise tomorrow is going to kill those 20 calories. Just keep plugging.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to go run at 8. Oh, look, it's 8:01. Ah, missed it.
You can still run. Because here's what happens. This goes back to that internal struggle I'm talking about. Those become excuses not to stick to the commitment because you don't really want to stick to the commitment. Mm-hmm. It's like, and that's why I'll get to this in a minute about keeping them, but like, it's accountability. You know, it's like, okay, I'm going to do this, and I'm setting these parameters in my head. Oh, I missed one. I can't do this. See?
Yeah.
See, I told you I couldn't really keep this. There's a mindset issue there. Mm. You knew going in you couldn't keep it. Guess what you're not going to do? You ain't going to keep it.
Yeah.
Which means you need to go back to step one, smaller, more targeted, more urgent deadline that you can keep. And so if you can't stay, if you can't meet this sales goal, that's okay. Modify it. Because that's the beauty of this little 12-week thing is, let's say I don't hit all my marks by March. I still got 9 months. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I can make adjustments in the next 12 weeks. And so, like, if I decide, okay, the devotional just didn't fit in all the changes I'm trying to make, mm-hmm. in March, I can set up a new 12 weeks and do and focus just on that. And guess what? Hit
it. You ought to be able to hit it, yeah.
Theoretically, if I want it bad enough, my motivation's right, and the actions line up, I'm going to hit that mark.
Yeah.
But I didn't hit it in the first 3 months. I still hit it. You written a book lately? I mean, like, you know, I mean, you're still getting there. And so I think a lot of times we defeat ourselves with excuses, but the excuses are cover for not really wanting it.
Yeah.
Or not having a good plan. Mm-hmm. Because that why carries you through the moments where you're like, I could go either way. The why's got to be big enough to carry you through that tough point. Because those tough points get easier. If you've ever done a diet plan for real, when you've gone 12 weeks or 4 weeks and you've lost 5 pounds or whatever, mm-hmm. then you don't want the Coke as bad.
No. Yeah.
Because you're like, I'm doing this. Mm-hmm. I can't screw it up now. You know, like, I got to keep going. Well, now the desire for that other stuff has diminished. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think we give ourselves enough time. You've done everything you've done to get to where you are. Yeah. You're not going to, like, overnight erase all the stuff you've done to get to where you are.
Yeah. And that's where the grace comes in of when you've done it for 7 weeks and you trip up on one meal, or, you know, you just, well, I'm here, I better eat well.
Right.
It's okay. Just get back on the train tomorrow and keep going.
Yeah. And you just got to keep plugging. So that kind of begs the question, like, okay, so how do I really change? You don't have to do January 1 arbitrary and by January 8 a failed reset. If that's you, and that was me for a lot, it's still me, a lot of years, like, I'm not doing that, you know. So how do you make a genuine change? And we could be taught, we hadn't even really been talking about spiritual, we've been talking about people who want to make new commitments in this new year.
Yeah.
Another bonus to 12 weeks, in pandemic world, 12 weeks might be doable before things change. Who knows? Yeah. Or at least a week, and then you're not worried about 12 months from now.
Yeah.
But how do you really change? Because whether you're watching this in August and mm-hmm. didn't keep any of your resolutions and you want to make a change, you can still make a change, but how does that work? Being a pastor, it's one of the things that I look at people and I go, how can I help them be more connected to God? How can I help them make changes that they need to make from a moral standpoint? You know, there are things, we're talking about things that are all like changes about yourself, you know what I mean? But like, how do I make a moral change? How do I really become more spiritual? Any of those type of changes are just as difficult as, and everything we've said about them apply too. Because lots of people on January 1, like, I'm reading the Bible in a year. Mm-hmm. And they do great till they get to Leviticus, you know?
And then it goes off.
And there are numbers, you know, it's like, and so built this and measured this big. I would lose interest too, okay? Yeah. I mean, some of those plans are better to be mixed with some other stuff. Mm-hmm. And like, so there's ways to go about this that can help you change. And some people want to make spiritual changes too. And those, everything we've said applies to all that.
Yeah.
But I've got to throw in some scripture on here. Okay. You know, because I'm a pastor, and that's what you do. This is Colossians 3. And so I'm just going to start reading in 3, and we'll stop when I feel like stopping. Because I forgot which verses I wanted to do. So I don't have a plan.
I make the plans.
I have a plan. I have an idea. I just put Colossians 3 in my notes. That's all I put down. So if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you will be revealed with him in glory. Then he gets serious. Paul does not pull punches. Put to death, therefore, whatever is in you is earthly. Fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which are idolatry. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. These are the ways you also once followed when you were living that life. But now you must get rid of all such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices, keyword there, and have clothed yourselves with the knowledge according to the image of its creator. Okay, I'll stop there. So what is Paul saying? He goes, all right, you had an old self. And when we talk about Christian circles, we talk about our life before trying to become a follower, becoming a follower of Jesus. And he says, now you've been given a new life. And you have died to the old self. Christ has given you new life in Christ. I like to sign my emails in Christ a lot of times. That's where I got that from. So you have this life in Christ. It's a new life in Christ. And so then he puts the responsibility back on us, right? He says, God's done this in you. Mm-hmm. But then he says, put to death the old ways, their passions, their desires. Remember I said big why, big enough why to make a change is key here. So he's going, you've got to put to death the old desires. This is true for any of these other goals we were talking about. You got to put to death the desire for Sonic. Sorry. Yep. You got to crush it.
You got to start somewhere.
You got to crush it somehow. So he says, put to death these desires with their practices. This is it. You want to make a real change in the year. We've been talking about this with failure, with habits, and habits are the deal. Yeah. It's already your habit to swing through Sonic because it's right there on the way home. Yeah. That's a habit.
Yeah.
My suggestion is find a new home way home. You know what I mean? A new habit.
Yeah.
Because what happens is, and we were talking about this with momentum, the habits will change desire.
And we've talked about habits are who we are, our habits.
Oh, yes.
It's just like driving.
The way I like to put it is, I heard this guy talk, this said this one time, and I was like, that's beautiful. What you do is perfectly designed to give you the results that you have. Mm-hmm. Let that sink in. I used to do this with dating relationships with college students or high school students. The dating habits that you have are perfectly designed to give you the relationships that you have.
Yeah.
There's all the dating advice I can ever give you right there. Change your approach to dating. Yep. Will change the outcome of your dating relationships. It's true of all the things we're talking about with change too. The practices you have established in your life are perfectly designed to give you the outcome that you have. I could frame it in a spiritual context. Your relationship with God, your spiritual habits, your sacred rhythms, your spiritual practices are perfectly designed to give you the relationship with God that you have. Period.
Yep.
And so if you want to change it, you have to change the practices.
Yeah.
If you want to read the Bible, you have to read the Bible. You know, my personal example is with prayer. Prayer was always a area of weakness for me. It still is. Mm-hmm. I consider it an area of weakness. And the way I started was partly because I'd be like all over the place with too much coffee, is I couldn't stay on track. You start praying, especially pray at night in bed. You start praying, you wake up, amen. You know, like you fell asleep praying. But I couldn't stay focused while I was praying. So I started journaling my prayers. And for a while, it was about that much on a piece of paper. Mm-hmm. After I did this for a while, though, next page, next page, next page, and I was still writing because the habit had changed. Mm-hmm. And if my brain wandered, I could go back to the page. Yep. And pick up where my train of thought was and keep praying. And so it was a habit change that helped me sharpen my prayer life. Mm-hmm. The beauty of that thing is going back to those prayer journals and going, God did this, God did this, God did this, God did this. And so when we talk about how do you make a permanent change, let me tell you, the first place is God makes the change in us. That's what Paul's talking about in Corinthians. He's like, you died with Christ. Your old self is dead. You can resist temptation. Even Sonic.
Yeah.
I mean, you can resist it. You do have to figure out how. But it starts with, honestly, it starts with surrender of your life to Christ.
Mm-hmm. And if you know that why, the how becomes easy.
Yeah.
But when you don't know why or you lose your why, then the how doesn't really matter because, well, I know how to do it, but why am I doing it?
Well, because the struggle is the same with any of these other changes. Mm-hmm. I want to follow Jesus. But there's also a part of us that really wants to do our own thing. Mm-hmm. And that is the Christian walk. You can go to church all you want. You can go to small group all you want. You can read the Bible all you want. Christianity is that war between these two selves. Mm-hmm. This and even spiritual practices and a Christian front can be a fake self that you put on for everybody else that doesn't really change you. It's true.
Yeah.
You can, you know, look perfect on Sunday and Monday through Saturday, not so much, you know, but put on good appearances. And so there's this, I want this, God wants that, but I've got, I'm Sonic and he's healthy chicken, grilled chicken. You're like, quote that one from the pastor, but I mean, Jesus is healthy grilled chicken.
We're going to put that on a shirt.
Yes. Jesus is like eating grilled chicken. Eat more chicken. Anyway, so I don't know. There's another free promo plug from somebody. Anyway, so I lost my train of thought, which is why I need notes in front of me. Your habits are going to get you where you're going, so you got to change them. And so this war of desires is going on in your heart. Paul even says it in Romans 7. He literally says, the things I want to do, I don't. And the things I don't want to do, I do. The dude wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, and that's his spiritual struggle. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you we are. Mm-hmm. And so you kind of go, if Paul's having that much trouble, I don't have a chance. You know what I mean? And so that's at play. And so the goal of the Christian life, and you can apply this to any change you want to make, but the goal of Christian life is to order what you love in the degree of importance and to the degree that God loves them. I didn't come up with that either. Somebody else gave me that one, so I can't take credit for it. But order the loves of your life, the passions of your life, in the order that God loves them and to the degree that God loves them. Mm-hmm. It's okay to love career and money, but he loves it down here versus up here.
Yeah.
It's okay to love Sonic, of all restaurants to be addicted to. It's okay to love those things, but to love God, family more, mm-hmm. you know, there's an order of love and there's an intensity of love.
Yeah.
And so the goal of Christian life is to reorder our life in that way. Jesus made it really simple. Love God, love others. Mm-hmm. And on everything else hangs the whole law. Mm-hmm. There's the two most important and the two things God loves most. Everything else is somewhere underneath, including Mississippi State football, somewhere down here underneath.
Yep.
As soon as it becomes beyond those two, your loves are out of alignment. Mm-hmm. And so you've got to, so really making the change is the surrender of the old desire. God, do inside of me what you're going to do inside of me.
Yeah.
And even if it's eating habits, that's an old self or a self desire that you've got to release.
Yeah.
And fill it with something that will move you in the direction you want to go. If it's a spiritual habit, if there is, we heard Paul, what did Paul list? He didn't list Sonic and fast food in his changes, right? He listed anger and malice and bitterness and the things that come really out of a selfish self.
Yeah.
Put those things to death. In fact, he calls them idolatry. Why are they idolatry? Because they're motivated by our desire for our own agenda, our own self, more than what God wants. And so, yes, there are some behavioral things, there are some psychology things, there are some habit things you can do to make a change. But all change starts with surrender. Spiritual change starts with turning your life over to Christ. Part of the reason we don't do that is we're scared to death of what he's going to do. You know, we don't want to give up food because we might miss out on the latest special at the grill. You know what I mean? We don't want to surrender our life to Christ because he might put us in a hut in Africa as a missionary to little kids or something. I mean, there's not literally that, but there's some terror in the back of our head that says, what's God going to do? Exactly. Because who's in control now? Not you. Not you. When you're in control, you're not putting to death the old self that Colossians 3 is talking about.
Yeah.
You're letting it reign again. And Paul goes, that's got to die. The desires for whatever is working against you has got to die, spiritual or otherwise. So there's kind of my sermon semi-conversation with Parker about this.
Yeah.
I don't know if we have any interaction or not. Nobody cares. Good luck with your resolutions. No. This is one of the things I love. Obviously, I'm pretty passionate about it, not just my own personal changes, but being one of the reasons I'm in pastoral ministry is to help people make changes, spiritually or otherwise. And so if you're watching this later and you have a question, message us. That's cool. If you really want help making these changes, because I didn't even get into accountability, and we could go for another 20 minutes on that. But sometimes getting these changes done involves other people on the journey with you.
Yeah.
It's why church is important. It's why small groups are important. It's why you work out if you're meeting somebody at the gym, and you sit on the couch if you're not.
Yep.
So there's this other layer to that. If you're looking for that layer to make some of these changes, we would love to be a partner in that with you, whether you come to church here or not.
Yep.
So message us, let us know. Let me close this out with a little short prayer, and then hopefully you can go back to food or work. I have no idea how long we've been talking, because I do this. God, thank you for this time on Facebook Live for the whole world to see. Hopefully this is helpful to somebody when they watch it. But remind our hearts and our souls that really it's about surrender to you and the things that you love most, which is your glory and other people who need us to be you in the flesh. So God, give us the big why, give us clarity, give us support, give us the desires of your heart so that we can passionately follow you. In Christ's name, amen. Thanks, everybody. Next time.